chicken one of the wraps, or the other day I was called a little turkey, but I'm a chicken. Got it, you beef jerky?
It's really ridiculous.
Your grandkids are going to love it. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 164, and it is our first episode of the year 2019.
Wow.
Sounds good.
Yes.
2019.
We made it. Not one of us died in 2018.
Hey, rate the year so far out of 10.
Can you know that?
2019.
Are you sure?
The year so far, I've been a little under the weather. Nothing terrible has happened. I did send a text meaning to go to my wife to my new employee on her first day.
Yeah.
And so I'll have to tell y'all about that one later.
Solid 10 out of 10.
Solid 10 out of 10.
Start the year.
What about for you guys?
That was one of my resolutions, actually.
Oh, yeah. And I got it.
Yeah, mine's a solid 8.
It's been good,
but not great.
Going with a 10 and 8, and then Kenny.
It's been good. 6 days in isn't enough to see how good it is so far.
That's the funny joke here. Man, you really...
Kenny, don't you just live your life on a constant 5, kind of?
No. No, we go through a whole bunch
just
of different
just coasting
numbers.
On a 5.
In 2019, we've only been a few days in, and there are already so many changes. If you've been following us, you've been in our Discord, you've been on our social media, you have seen some of these things going on. Most of them are kind of out in front. Some of them are a little bit behind the scenes, but man, we can talk about these, but we've got a new logo. Yeah. We've got new t-shirts that are for sale, and not just
four
two, all four of them are for sale.
Yeah.
We have updated our Patreon goals and tiers. Kenny doesn't even know about that. We could tell him live on the air. And
last
then,
but not least, our show is now about interior design.
What?
And over our heads, but what? You know, it's 2019.
I don't know. You're
and
just changing stuff.
We also released our very first best of 2018 poll.
Heck
where
yeah, we
we're trying to get from all of you guys what your favorite games of 2018 are. So you can find those links on our social media, but make sure that you do that because we'll be announcing that here in the next couple of episodes. But yeah, a lot of changes already, and we're just a few days in.
Yeah. I'll tweet out that survey again because it's going to be really, really cool to see the results from all of you guys.
You haven't even hit all the big things.
It's true.
We didn't talk.
No, we
have
talk several.
T-shirts. We didn't talk.
Well, he did.
Like you didn't talk t-shirts, you didn't talk logos, you didn't talk Patreon.
You didn't talk about our episode. No, I didn't hear you mention t-shirts. I must be really not paying attention today.
Yeah, so we have our two Patreon selected t-shirts, and then we threw out just a surprise to end 2018 strong. And we have two novelty designs for our long-term listeners. You remember what those designs are?
Yeah, I'll test Kenny's knowledge.
Yeah, Kenny, you know what those designs are?
We've got on the t-shirts, you mean?
Yeah, it sounds kind of like you're stalling for time and pulling away from your mic to look
I'm closing my eyes, I'm shutting my ears so that you don't think
clicking.
I'm cheating. We have an amazing t-shirt that's a reference to your most epic segue of all time from Chrono Trigger episode that says Canoe Bigger. And we have an awesomely art-styled Jurassic Park-inspired tee since we gave that game so much grief as being the worst game of all time. And it's also amazing.
What does it say?
It says better than the movie.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Solid 10 out of 10.
On our social media, you can find the sites to those shirts. Completely affordable. They're great quality. We've already tested them. And they might come to you smelling like apple cider vinegar. Just put them through a wash and then they'll be good. It's the treatment they use.
Oh,
they use a treatment to keep it quality to get to you. But just send it through the wash and it's going to be high quality. You'll be able to wear your first ever New Game Plus merch. I'm kind of every time I pull up one of our social sites and I see our new logo, I'm pretty stoked about that.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
I was a little on the fence about whether or not to even buy a t-shirt until you told me it was going to smell like vinegar. And now I'm buying three.
Now you're sold?
Yeah. You're a big vinegar fan?
I am.
our new logo created by our friend Hookshot, who also did our designs for the shirts. It's just great. It's kind of our once and for all. This is what we're going with. This is what we'll be known by. It's classy. It's crusty, but it's also very retro.
Crusty.
Both of those things are true.
I love it. I see it every time I pull up Discord, and I'm like, man, that's a really quality logo. Like, I feel like we're a real podcast now, even though
we're finally
that's
a real podcast.
Growing up, guys.
A podcast.
And then lastly, we can tell Kenny about it some, but yeah, we updated some of our Patreon goals. We threw our t-shirt in there. We even added a goal entirely. So Kenny, we redid our 250 goal. So we're sitting at around 230 a month through our patron support. And that's incredible. We never thought we'd be all the way there, but we've been stuck around that window for a while. And so to get us up to that 250, we kind of rewrote that so that we would say, hey, if we hit this $250 goal, then we will, for the very first time, produce a, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 episode mini series that's extra content separate from what we typically do, still retro game related, and then just push that out to you guys if we hit that goal. And so that's something that we've had a lot of fun with Elements, our monthly bonus episode,
but
this would be a totally new thing with a mini series and something that I think would be a lot of fun.
So live on the air, what do you think, Kenny?
I think it's a great idea.
Now, I think you knew about that. We at least talked about that some together.
Oh, yeah, we have another one.
Yeah, we do have another one that Nolan and I talked about, Kenny. At $350, we just threw in another one there because that $500 goal is for us to do a one-off D&D
set. Are you guys going to try and make me tattoo myself or something?
Yeah, with the new NGP logo.
On the butt cheek.
No, even better. We're going to do our first ever full retro game, the three of us taking turns, maybe coming on together at least once, 24-hour live stream.
24 hours is intense. I like it, though.
But 4-hour shifts.
Yeah, we do two 4-hour shifts each. Only retro video games. Even maybe our patrons decide what games we play the long list of retro games. And then we just spend time playing. And anytime anybody wants to hop in, yeah, I don't know.
That's a great idea.
Maybe they're not even going to be retro.
I'll say this
games.
It's an idea, and it might be a good one.
Well, it is an idea.
Maybe we'll play Fortnite.
All of those things are fun. That's how we're starting off our year. Another fun thing very quickly is that Awesome Games Done Quick just started this morning.
Whoa, baby.
And that is that biannual, two times a year annual. not competition, but event where gamers raise money for some kind of organization. And while they're doing that, they're playing typically old games, but new games as well. And they're doing it incredibly fast. They're speed running those games. That's going to go all throughout this week. So if you listen to this episode within the second week of January 2019, you might be able to hop on a Twitch and watch some AGDQ.
Heck yeah.
Did you guys have a chance to look through the schedule, and are there any games that are must-watches for you?
Yeah, day one is stacked. Hollow Knight, Donkey Kong Country, Majora's Mask, and that's all today. So after we get through recording, I'm going to go watch.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know if I've missed it yet, but early on in the lineup, this is the one that stuck out to me. I think they're doing some kind of race where like they actually do have multiple players compete against each other live through one of the Portal games, which sounds so fun to me.
Yeah, I think
that
that's
game is
coming up.
Nuts.
Like literally right now, I think they're doing what's the Mario Racer? I can't believe that
Mario Kart,
and it's happening right now. So turn off the podcast.
No, that's
go
not
watch
how it works,
live.
Kenny. Not how it works. And I don't know if you guys saw, but they are doing Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Yes, I did.
Oh, that's
see
great.
That. My favorite game, of course. And they're, I think the last day, it's not the last game, but it's close. They're doing Mario Odyssey, but it's the darker side run. So it's like way longer than the Any Percent, and it's so much better than Any Percent. It's awesome.
They're doing Dark Souls 3 too. That's the game you're playing right now, right?
Ooh, I gotta not watch that one.
So there's a lot of good games that they're speedrunning. You can hop on if you're here within the second week of January. Make sure that you support them. It's for a great cause. Speedrunning is so entertaining, something that I love to watch, but I'll never really be able to do. So kind of just live vicariously through that. Although I don't want to beat myself up about it because there's plenty of things I can do. But when it comes to speedrunning, I just, no, you know what? It's 2019. It's a brand new year. It's a year of positivity. No more being down on myself. Yeah, I know. I gotta believe.
Told you that was well gonna be a segue. I called it.
Like in our retro game of the week, Parappa the Rapper.
Overview.
So Parappa the Rapper is a pioneering rhythm game for the PlayStation. This game, developed by Nana Non Shah.
I couldn't wait for
published
you.
Published by Sony Computer Entertainment. It was designed by Masayu Matsuru with help from Rodney Greenblatt. And it's a quirky little game that features the titular character Parappa, who is rapping his way to earn the affection of his love, who just happens to be an anthropomorphic flower.
Did we say what Parappa is?
Well,
yeah, it makes it a little bit better.
He's a rapper.
No, yes, but he's also this anthropomorphic dog.
Yeah.
I have a real question, though.
And he's flat.
For both of you.
They're all flat. What's your question?
What's titular mean? And, you guys say it all the time.
You know the things on your chest? it's like protagonist, main, primary. Okay.
No, right. Like if the title of the game is the name of the thing.
It's like titular.
So Zelda,
like it's like titler, but says so like you're way more pretentious.
So Link is Link not is the titular character of Zelda.
No, he is. No. He's Zelda.
No. Zelda is. So Kenny, like you were starting to say, and I would love for you to tell our listeners this story that builds out this beautiful love story for the ages. But there is it sets up this paper thin anthropomorphic rapping dog. Yep, you heard that right. With a paper thin, not anthropomorphic, I guess, but like living flower.
Yeah, like she's like human ish. Flower. She's alive.
Sunny Funny, and his name's Parappa the Rapper, and they're in love, or hopefully.
It's not just that they're in love. He then has to prove his love by besting a series of really unique, to say the least, rap masters, and by taking on a whole bunch of, like, weirdly not-a-big-deal teenage-style life challenges, like raising some money or getting a cake made. You see if you can get him all the way through his story, and it just depends on whether or not you've got good rhythm and whether, you know,
kind of,
you believe in yourself.
Yeah, you got to believe. This game, Kenny, you threw in some words there in passing, but that I think are completely key to understanding this game as we talk about it. One of them is pioneering. This came out in 1996 in Japan. This game has been credited as the first true rhythm game that helped spark the popularity of the music game genre in general. So,
which
you like Guitar
so awesome.
Hero? Thank Parappa the Rapper. You like band?
Dance
rock
Dance
band?
Revolution.
Dance Dance Revolution, even. This game came first.
Yeah, and it's weirdly true, and I hate that that's the case. But
I love
this game gets lots of credit.
I love that this is the origins of that. And you can tell that in a lot of the mechanics, which we'll talk about shortly. But the way that you said pioneering, that's key, because it's hard to believe, guys, but Parappa the Rapper was truly the first rhythm game, at least of this kind. And it started here. But not only that, you also said quirky. And we said the dog and the flower thing and paper thin. But like this game
it's weird.
Is completely self-aware in its weirdness.
It is.
But it is so over the top in the story. Guys, in the cutscenes, I was just baffled.
Well, okay, and here's what's a little crazy to me, because this game is so weird, you almost would expect it. I would have expected it to kind of fly under the radar, be a little bit of a cult classic, and you look at it and you're like, okay, all the weird kids played that game, and now we recognize that it maybe was art, only because we can call anything art, and then we move on. But, like, this game was pretty successful. It was highly rated. It sold a whole bunch of units. It was well-regarded generally, despite the fact that it's completely bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know what to credit that to. It coming out in Japan first, and maybe there just being this need for a music kind of thing. I don't know. They just, I'll tell you this, the creators of this were ballsy because there was, they went, although it was the 90s and you can do weird stuff in the 90s.
But this was ballsy because games at the time were not at all in the funny, ironic, self-aware, like just make some weird thing vein. It was very like action oriented, especially in Japan. It was like very mature and like trying to be edgy. And then this came out.
Gameplay. So first things first, Parappa the Rapper is a relatively short game. Not even relatively. It's really short.
Six levels, basically?
Yeah, six different stages. There are cutscenes in between each one that are quite lengthy at times. So you'll be sitting there for a good, you know, 3, 4, maybe even 5 minutes.
It's true. Watching.
And you'll be failing them too. So it makes it longer.
You're not gonna be passing these stages, maybe just at all, but easily. And so you're going to be spending quite a quiet amount of time. I don't know. What am I saying?
Yeah,
I
guess it was quite right. You're going to not make any noise while you play this game for a long time. Yeah, you nailed it.
No. My guy would. Okay, so I don't even know where to begin with this. Okay, here. You have a rhythm bar at the top of the screen, even a bar that you're kind of familiar with on some of these other games, even today of these music rhythm games. And so like Guitar Hero, imagine that where I'm just going to keep referencing that because that's my one music rhythm game that I played. The bar is coming up from the bottom or the top of the screen and you're having to hit the correct buttons as it passes your primary bar. It's very similar like this. You've got a static bar at the top and you've got different PlayStation buttons on there. So either your X, triangle, circle, or square. And even your bumpers. Yep. As Parappa the Rapper's face comes across, you're to hit that button as his face comes across the screen. Unlike many rhythm games here in Parappa the Rapper, though, you are not just creating or not just guessing as they come. You're actually parroting the rhymes that the instructor just laid down.
Yes. And those, I mean, Dustin found out. He did a first play this week, right? So Dustin learned.
I was just confused because it was my first experience, truly. All of ours, right? None of us had played this game.
No. I'd seen the character, like visually, I'd seen him on. He appears in other things, but I had no clue what game he was from. But Dustin gets in there and starts, you know, going through the rhythm, and it's just there's something wrong, like just off about it. And not like you watch, and I saw that Dustin was like hitting it in sync with how it's visually represented, and it's just he's failing.
It didn't feel super in sync to me at all, and I couldn't decide if that was, you know, like computer system not functioning as well as it should, like an artifact of something tangible like that, but it didn't feel like it. It felt more like they either did a really poor job of lining up the visuals and expected you to play on the note, but then the visuals just sort of caught up, or I don't know. It always just felt a little bit off to me.
So I did some research after that because I was like, man, something's messed up. I think my emulator's wrong. Do I have to calibrate something?
Right.
There was no function within the game itself to do that. So I started doing some searching only to come to find out, no, that's how the game is. Yep. Like that's how the game was released. They even did a remaster of this game, a few years back, maybe 10 years back now.
2006, I think.
It like kept the wonky timing.
Yeah, and the timing is still jacked up. Yeah.
Oh, that's annoying. They just updated like the graphics a little bit.
They updated the graphics, but I mean, it's still just silly, wonky graphics, but the mechanics are still the same. And so, yeah, that was a common like frustration this week as I played, but since the genesis of the game, and as I'm reminding myself, it was the first rhythm game. I give it a little bit of grace, but being a rhythm music game, that's like your main mechanic. If you're going to do anything, you have to be able to give us those crisp like inputs so that we're able to hit the rhythm, hit the beats well. I'm typically good at rhythm games. Dance Dance is not one of them, but like games where I can use my fingers to keep the rhythm, I'm typically good at those. And so I was getting the majority of my inputs there, but they just weren't registering that I wasn't giving the game what it needed. It wasn't consistent. Like what worked sometimes in the same song didn't work the second time the chorus came around. So it's just all over the place.
And I also had the sense that their threshold of like how accurate they wanted you to be seemed as you played through the game to get tighter. Like on the first level, I felt like it was looser. It wasn't forgiving enough for me to be able to do it easily, but I felt like it started more forgiving. And maybe it's just because things got harder, but it literally felt like their expectation for how you performed went up, which coupled with you having to learn kind of how to, I don't know, like you almost had to be like slightly ahead of the note to feel like you were doing it right. Or it's a hard thing to explain.
I think it changes. I think sometimes it does.
And you then had sometimes to kind of like game the game. And as each song and rhythm was slightly different, I don't know. It was frustrating for me.
I figured out a way to get through it. So I think Dustin, you ended up just spamming buttons, right?
Kind of. You got to spam the right buttons. And I think I started finding out later that you get better score if you're still kind of in some kind of rhythm, but still spamming.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of figured out the delay thing and stopped listening to the music, which is frustrating in a rhythm game. And just like when Parappa's head passed the note, I would hit it and it started to work. But when I hit level 3, I think, where you have to work at a market for a frog and pay your debt back for wrecking his car.
The reggae song.
Yes, the best song. The buttons started getting really close together, and then there'd be a space and another one. My strategy fell apart, and I just started to have to spam. So I don't know. I wouldn't know if I would call it a rhythm game after playing it.
Would you say that, though? And then on like an initial playthrough when we're not great at the game, which I would assume was most of our weeks with the game, I don't think you get to this depth. But you can go back and like replay levels you've already played to unlock kind of better challenges where you can actually hit that cool threshold instead of just good. And then it also encourages you to do a little bit of like freestyling. And that's what I think Dustin was kind of inadvertently talking about, where the game wants you to play like similar notes to the one it suggests in a rhythm that makes sense, like with the time signature and with the beat of the song, but in your own way, but in a way that the game sees that you're doing those things appropriately and you don't know what it's judging that based on or not, but you can actually kind of like get bonus points and get better at the game. But let's be real, if you can just survive this game at all, you're already better at this game because it's really hard.
You've got this rating meter on the screen that we've been referencing this, haven't really kind of talked it out. And it says on the left side, you rapping, and like capital U, and then
rapping. That's actually what it says, literally.
And it either moves up or down based on how you're doing, and you've got four different gauges on how you're doing. At the top, you've got cool, and then it's you rapping cool, and then you rapping good, and then you rapping bad, and then you rapping awful. And if you're at awful long enough, then you lose the stage and you've got to start the rap over again.
Now, the way I think that it works is different than...
I love, like, we're still trying to figure it out a little bit, but that's completely reasonable after you play this game.
Guitar Hero, if you hit a note that's not there, your meter goes down. You start to lose.
Sure.
I feel like in this one, you lose meter or get worse by not hitting the one that's on screen currently. So you can like spam a button and it still won't make it go down. But if you spammed it in Guitar Hero, it would definitely go down. I feel like that's how it worked, because at times I felt like I was spamming and it wasn't punishing me for it.
Yeah.
As long as I was just hitting the one that was on there.
I have no idea. I'm going to constantly go back to that I think it just changes up all the time. Yeah, and there's no like one right thing. Like, I think all three of us probably figured out, if we played long enough, some way to make it work for us the majority of the time. But I bet all three of our like tactics are slightly different. Even yeah, searching online and reading all these things, like everybody has their different interpretation and understanding of how the scoring system works, how to make it work for them. And my thing is, look, push past the initial frustration of it's not registering, because if you do, you'll eventually find something that works for you, at least a little bit, enough to get through the game.
You can unlock characters to play as instead of Parappa. So you can play as that flower that he has a crush on, Sunny.
Sunny Funny.
And Catty Cat. I guess that's his
that
buddy.
Yeah, blue cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, she was in the cutscenes.
Yeah, you have to do the cool mode or something on all the stages or something. Like, you have to get to cool mode, and because you can beat the game just on good. But if you beat,
I don't even know how to do cool, like get
either.
It up to the cool.
I don't either.
You got
to
go back and play a level again after you've already beaten it.
No, that's,
but then
that's,
be exceptionally good at it.
One of the things, as we're mentioning this, that I actually liked a lot is that in this game, the things change based on how well you're doing. So if you're doing bad, it's worth it to lose a stage a couple of times.
To hear their dialogue,
to watch, like on that first stage, your Onion Dojo Master like starts laying down on the ground, disappointed. When you're trying to sell stuff, it's where you sell fleas. The whole shop starts falling apart. So like, when you're doing bad and when you're trying to get your driver's license, I love us not laying out like the complete story as if there is one. And we're just talking about when you go from the flea market to get your driver's license to all of these things. And just like, it's a normal thing. Yeah.
So
but the stage around you dynamically changes and depending on how well you're doing and how poor you're doing. And I just thought that was a cool little addition.
Yeah.
I want to give one last thing that you're actually rapping to, like a few lyrics to just let you know how kind of like absurd this game is.
Please do.
On that flea store place where you're selling fleas, you're kind of rapping back to this reggae funk lord guy. And I just am randomly picking lyrics because any and all of them are silly. But the lyrics that you're rapping, and no, I'm not going to rap it, is, "I never dreamed it would be like this. I am the number one ruler of the seven seas. The skunk over here will bring you luck. The pump over here comes with a truck. Oh yes, I had a lot of fun. I made a lot of bucks and now I'm on the run. In the rain or in the snow, got the funky flow." So
what
just,
in the world?
Every one of the songs are like this. Yeah. It's completely absurd. It's completely silly. You're trying to rap back, parrot these raps back, and no matter what you do, Parappa's gonna sound insane. Like, do I? No. Why we stop the car again? Like, you're just gonna do it so poorly. Those are real lyrics, by the way.
That was a really, really good impression.
Even if you're nailing it with the time, you're not going to get. It's not going to sound like, good.
He's the Onion Master's like kick, punch, block, and then Parappa's like kick, punch, block.
Right, but that might even have just secured you enough points to get you up to the cool rating. You'll never know. Play it enough to figure out your little quirk on how you're going to game the system and make it work for you.
Aged.
On that note about the lyrics, as we talk about aged here, I think that's where this game really does age well in their humor, because we've talked about frustrating controls and gameplay, and to me, that's number one priority always. So if the mechanics are off, I just can't play the game.
Okay.
However, in this game though, the humor ages so well for me that it's like I can almost forgive them. Like in that driver's stage, she's like, the driving teacher is like, "Guess what?" And then Parappa's like, "Guess what?" And she goes, "Guess what? Guess what?" And she goes, "I forgot to close the door."
Yeah. Well, she's like, "Do you know why we stopped the car?" Yeah. "Do you know why we stopped the car?" And then guess what? Like, you have to do that over and
you
over.
Have
and
she says,
"I forgot to close the door." And she closes it and you start back up.
So funny.
The humor does cover a multitude of sins. I've got to agree with you. I don't know for me fully if that covers it enough to make it a playable game, but I will say that the humor is something. It's not just a 90s like stays there. Like, this is a persistent, like, I don't know why I keep thinking of Crazy Taxi. I think that's in the 90s, but we played other 90s games that have a complete 90s vibe on the humor.
Sure.
And for us that ages well, because like that was our time, so we can look back and have a fondness for it. But for a lot of people, just because it's 90s humor doesn't mean that it's going to connect for today. However, this game, I think this has some 90s flair, but it's not just 90s. It's got this like just quirk that I think can persist and even does here today in 2019.
Well, honestly, it doesn't even feel super 90s to me. It feels more like these ridiculous shows, because that's the thing now for kids, is ridiculous. On Cartoon Network, like Adventure Time or, you know, some of those cartoons, it reminds me of that kind of just outlandish, no rules, ridiculousness. Yeah. And I feel like that's why it ages so well.
I agree, Nolan. It's kind of meme-ish almost.
And yeah.
You know, and so it has this 90s vibe, but in a way that kind of resonates with today. I don't think it has a like super future proof complete style. I really do think some of it is still just funny to us. You know, like some things are universal, and I don't see my grandkids finding this funny. And a few times it goes for like cheap laughs. Like the whole potty humor
bathroom
scene.
Yeah. Like the literal potty humor scene.
Literal.
Where
he's gotta go to the
chicken poops out the
egg. Right.
By the way, that's the only time that Sonny Funny actually liked Parappa the Rapper, when his personality changed because he was holding in his bowels. Like, what?
Yeah,
what?
It was strange. Yeah. So I didn't like some elements of it, but still, I'm with you.
Kenny,
I found it funny and I generally enjoyed those pieces.
Your grandkids are gonna love that scene.
Yes. And
that scene.
No, when they're cooking and the bird is using a whisk and it's completely going outside of the bowl. Like, it's all over the place. It's not even
the
in
chicken,
the bowl.
One of the raps, or the other day I was called a little turkey, but I'm a chicken. Got it? You beef jerky?
It's really ridiculous.
Your grandkids are going to love it. Speaking of the 90s, I will say this is something that I admire. The 90s, right, during this time, were the first experiments with true 3D polygonal graphics. And as we all know, many attempts looked absolutely awful. Mm-hmm. I have got to applaud an attempt to just go with the flow, like knowing that that's the frustration that everybody's doing right now, and just have fun with it and do something absurd. And do something silly and have enough. Like, it is not a pretty game. Like, just in the... it's oversaturated on some of the backgrounds.
But, yeah, but intentionally so.
But
it's like an ugly, it's like something that a quote unquote really talented fourth grader would draw, you know, if they were given way too many crayons and, you know, had watched too much adult like television shows.
Right. But I'm saying like they could have. They're going with the whole like silly, absurd humor and theme. I mean, again, the rapping, it's all about a rapping dog with the motto, "I gotta believe." So like it's absurd from the beginning, but they did that with their art style as well. And you can, at the same time though, the art style is there. Like, they actually took some time and invested and did different animations and like, I don't know. In a time where you're getting a lot of bad graphics because they were trying to go quote unquote real, you have this thing that's just pushing against the current, and I admire that.
It's a very Japanese feeling game. I'm surprised it came to the States, because this obviously started in Japan, and the creators, one of them is Japanese and the other guy, the artist, is American, believe it or not. So it's like this game looks like one of those cartoons.
It's a weird fusion.
It's strange, but it reminds me of these weird like YouTube cartoons that people make for kids. That's just terribly saturated. Looks like Microsoft Paint, but this dude, that's his art style. Like he was apparently very popular in Japan. This American dude, Rodney Greenblatt, which is so just, it's a bizarre happening that this game was
so like he's already known for that style. Like yes. That was his style. Oh,
that's why this feels like a Japanese only game to me. So totally I'm surprised does. We got it and that and, people actually bought it.
Well, and it's funny to me because if you think about like this was a Japanese game first. And so none of the music was going to be like lyrically, it was going to be in English. So you're True. Seeing characters doing these things on stage. So they had to translate and then remake some of those things as raps. And it still sort of makes sense, which is, I think, where some of part of it was intentional and they were being tongue in cheek and self-aware and going for humor. But part of it, I think, is the difficulty of doing translation, not just of music, but of rap lyrics that have to rhyme and still make yeah. sense in context. And that's really hard to do.
Lastly, I would say the music, it hits everything for me. Yeah, I think the raps are the highlight of this game. The absurdity of the lyrics. I'll reference back to the Flea Store, and I'm just going to stick with that. That reggae rap is, I loved that one. It was so good. The dojo one's fun. The car one's okay. But that one right there. And then that final song, what you gonna do? Like just the I Gotta Believe song at the end yeah. that it ends and everyone's on stage together. It's actually so good.
Yeah. They did a great job making the music fun. Like, I thought it was going to be really crappy. I mean, looking at it, you're like, okay, here we go. Yeah. You don't expect much. But it's actually pretty catchy. And obviously, the lyrics are hilarious.
Now, it totally dates itself as, like, mid-90s rap. But that can still be fun. It's kind of like listening to, like, old Will Smith. Where it's not like objectively blowing your mind today.
Hold on. I just love that you compared Parappa the Rapper to Will Smith, and it kind of makes sense.
It kind of makes sense. Not that they're yeah. the same, and like it, they're but going they should for go on tour things. Together. Yeah, but I mean, if he covered their songs in his mid-90s style, I wouldn't.
You
hate
might
it.
Not. You might not know that he's doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's just this whole like. That was the way rap was, and they kind of knew what they were going for. And as a like retrospective on rap from the time, it's kind of fun for today. It's not like it's good raps, but it was humorous rapping to, you know, contextually to listen to. So it made me smile. I'm with you.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or another. Nolan, how about you tell us what you think about this game?
Okay. Like I said, gameplay is incredibly important to me, and I think to most people. And I would never sacrifice that for something. But when I am playing this game and I'm like, what in the world is this? And then a cutscene comes along and they're freaking out over this car that this cool guy has. And one of them goes, I heard that one can go 463,200.
He fades out.
He just gives up. That is my humor. I died laughing out loud at this game. I give it a game plus. Why not? It's fun. And I think that it would be funny for someone to play it because they'd laugh. And that's what they were trying to do. If this was a bad game and it was just we're making fun of it, that's another story. But I think they were self-aware with this one that they just made a comedy. So play it.
Okay. I'll jump in.
Go.
I think, Nolan, you're right. It's totally up your alley. I literally was enjoying this game or you like the humor in this game and like smiling a little bit, but picturing you laughing at it and cracking up. I don't know why. I just totally was like, Nolan's going to think this is yeah. really funny. And so I'm glad to hear that, like that I was right. To me, this game boils down to the story's fun. It's old and quirky. If you want to sit down and watch someone play through the game, you absolutely should because it's entertaining. But as a game, it just doesn't hold up. And especially as a game in the genre, I'm glad that it kicked the genre off. But they got way better at doing the musical gameplay part of it. And that bugs me enough that I can't give it New Game Plus. So I think we have similar tastes on it, Nolan, but just land in a kind of different place as to what that means for the game. Entertaining, funny, not real future-proof and frustrating to play. So no New Game Plus in my case.
Kenny doesn't believe.
That is one yes, one no. And so it does come down to me, which it rarely ever does. This is a unique position to be in, but hey, it's 2019.
You gotta believe.
I promise you I came into recording today not knowing which direction I was going.
I'd believe that.
And you can hear kind of both sides to this, and we're all around the same area, you know, like it could go one way or the other. The thing that I think is going to push it over the edge for me in one of the directions is that this game truly is unapologetically original. And yes. they went hard in the paint with their theme and with their characterization.
And by that, he means Windows Paint.
And you already had your chance. And yes, actually, the art in Windows Paint, I approve. Thank you. Yeah, that was good. It's fun. It is insane. There is not many games that are like it. And for that alone, I give it a round of applause. The mechanics, which you've got to have in these games, is not there and is lacking. But it's at least there enough for me to have been able to beat the game this week. And so I don't know if it's going to work for everybody, but I want everyone to know about it. And I think it is worth a game everyone playing. And so I do give it my vote for New Game Plus status, meaning our very first game of the year, Parappa the Rapper, is New Game Plus certified.
I think a lot of people will be happy with that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Dab on them haters.
Yeah.
Dab on them haters.
I'm okay with wanting people to be exposed to this game as long as they kind of know what they're getting into.
Yeah, I think we've set the stage for that, yeah.
We had a couple of people write in. Thank you for starting your year strong and writing into New Game Plus and letting us know what you think about the Retro Game of the Week. You can always do that, by the way, by sending us an email to ngppodcast@gmail.com or by just hopping onto our Discord. There's a commentary channel there every week for the game, and you can send in your thoughts. We'd love to include it as a part of our show. Rycon wrote in and said, Parappa the Rapper and the Mona Lisa are more or less the same thing.
Wow, okay.
Mona Lisa is caught between a smile, and Parappa smiles and doesn't smile throughout the game.
Okay.
B, the Mona Lisa's hands are folded, and you could literally fold Parappa's hands as he's two-dimensional.
I mean, they're both flat.
C, they're both masterpieces that belong in the Louvre.
Oh my goodness.
Parappa is by no means a perfect game, but it's fun, original, has great music, and doesn't overstay its welcome. In my view, it's a retro game that everyone should experience at least once. New Game Plus for me.
Listen, that's not something we pointed out, but is actually worth it. When
with the Mona Lisa thing?
No, like, you can make a game, and it can overstay its welcome. Like, this game didn't need to be long. It told a funny story. Ooh, it gave you a little bit of gameplay and the chance to go back, but like didn't force it. And I actually respect him pointing that out quite a bit.
That's good. I think you summed it up really well too, Dustin, when you said that it's unapologetically original. I appreciate that more than someone that just makes like some cut and paste game.
Yeah. Thank you, Rycon. Bill wrote in.
Bill.
It's the 2019, the year of Bill. Parappa the Rapper was on my demo disc that I got with my PS1. It was such a strange looking game, I had to try it out. The Onion Sensei was the first thing I saw, and I was sold. I rented the game within a few weeks and beat it quickly. Ever since, I've had a few of the songs stuck in my head, and they crop up from time to time. Considering it was over 20 years ago, that's impressive. I played it again this week, was surprised how well I remembered the words to the songs, and enjoyed the heck out of it. The story of Parappa's love for Sunny is a tale that will transcend time. Will you guys give this game New Game Plus? I gotta believe.
Okay. Nice. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Better love story than Twilight.
I could totally see Bill standing in his living room doing karate moves and singing along with the Onion song.
Bill kind of reminds me of that Onion Sensei.
I'm with you.
Give him put some whiskey in his hand. That's Bill.
Guys, thank you for writing in. Rycon, Bill, again, any and every week you can write in on the Retro Game of the Week. For now, we're putting Parappa the Rapper to the side, and we're going to randomly select the next game that we're going to be playing for the year 2019. I think we started off strong, even though like it is New Game Plus certified, but it was also Parappa the Rapper. So
I'm excited to see what this one is, though.
We're adding games regularly to our Retro Master list. All those games have been submitted by you. We got an email from a friend this week sending in like a dozen games that we've got to put into the system. But out of that Retro Master list, we are randomly selecting the one game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. Spinning the randomizer now. I mean, we're not moving far in age, guys. We're going to 1997. But we are moving platforms to the PC. It was developed and published by Maxis, and it is a racing and vehicular combat computer game.
Huh.
We're going to be playing Streets of SimCity.
Streets what? Of SimCity.
Vehicular
yeah.
combat?
And it's vehicular combat?
I think there are some. Yeah, I remember playing this back in the day, and I think it's actually a really good early vehicular combat game, but that might be nostalgia talking.
Yeah, we'll see. It's typically not my genre.
But it's like, Maxis and SimCity, guys.
This is like Tame Theft Auto.
Who's Maxis?
Completely tame. But like Maxis, this is they did all the Sim stuff. Sim Ant, Sim Copter, Sim Farm, Sim City.
Okay.
And this is Streets of Sim City.
Huh.
So I think one of the unique things in this game is that you don't only battle, but you can like actually explore any city created in SimCity 2000 by car.
Oh.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Anyways. We'll figure it out this week in full 3D, 1997, Streets of SimCity. Play along with us.
Hop in Discord and hang out with us this week. We have a thriving community, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. You can go to Twitter, and you can look at our bio in the top left below our new graphic. And click on the Discord link. It's free. See you there.
As always, we want to give a big shout-out to our producer-level patrons who support us on patreon.com, Dear Baby, Zion, Alex, and Gimbarino. You guys are pretty great and we appreciate you. And maybe you want to be a little bit like them and support us. You can check out patreon.com, or maybe you'll be like Zach and bump up your support a little bit. So Zach, thanks for increasing your monthly support for us as well. So big shout out to you.
It's 2019. We know you got that Christmas money from Gmod.
In the stocking.
Come on.
The envelope stuck in the tree.
Support your favorite podcast this year. Your New Year resolution is to give us all your money.
Ta-da.
Find us on all of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast. You can also find us on our YouTube channel at New Game Plus Podcast. In fact, this week, go to every single one of those and check out our new logo. It looks really good. You can listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice now, including Spotify.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this. Big. That's super hype for me because I'm a Spotify premium user.
Previously, our hosting site wasn't compatible with Spotify, but now they worked it out. Hype. And we're on Spotify, so you can listen to us literally anywhere now. Make sure that you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. Boot up iTunes. I know we all hate it, but if you leave a rating and review in there, it definitely helps with visibility. And as always, we want to give a special shout out to Tom Tate, who edited and produced this beautiful episode. Join us next week as we play Streets of SimCity. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Lil Onion.
And this has been New Game Plus.